Welcome to the monthly Three Edge View from the Edge for March 2026. I'm Fritz Foltz, the Chief Investment Strategist here at Three Edge, and joining me here once again today, as he does every month, is Eric Biegeleisen, the Director of Investment Research and the Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three Edge Asset Management. And as we do each month, Eric will provide our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based on our proprietary research model. Have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. And as we turn the calendar from February to March, the world has changed quickly and dramatically with the outbreak of war in the Middle East, with the United States and Israel attacking Iran and killing Iran's supreme leader. And Iran has responded with attacks across the region, launching missiles and drones on other Gulf states' oil and gas facilities, oil tankers, even airports and tech companies, in what one Middle East expert described as Iran's war on the global economy. The most direct result of the conflict has been the closing off of virtually all ship traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, where approximately 20 to 25% of the global supply of oil and gas must travel. And since oil tankers cannot pass through the strait, Gulf oil-producing countries such as Qatar, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia have all cut back on production. And in response, the International Energy Agency has agreed to release 400 million barrels of oil from its strategic petroleum reserve, which seems like a lot, but I believe that only represents about 3 weeks' worth of supply. And the global markets have taken a hit and experienced an increase in volatility. However, at least for the time being, there has not yet been the kind of dramatic decline in equity markets that you might expect. It seems as though investors continue to pin their hopes on a relatively swift resolution to the conflict. But should the conflict drag on with no end in sight, hopes for a quick end to hostilities may begin to fade, and global equity markets could be at risk for a major correction. So with that backdrop of war in the Middle East, we'll turn things over to Eric to review our three-edge asset class matrix, which will serve to provide our current big-picture outlook across asset classes and geographies. So over to you, Eric. Take it away.
Great. Yeah, great summary, Fritz. Yeah, we have said, take a look at this matrix. There's no movement on it. That's certainly changed, as you can see here, a number of arrows across the board. Generally speaking, what we're seeing is a reduction in the outlook for all of the equity asset classes to some degree, even a slight reduction in the outlook for gold. And in its place, you see an increase in the outlook for commodities, which were already favorable, and as well cash, which is now serving in client portfolios as a source of dry powder for reinvestment when those opportunities do arise.
Okay, great. So, Eric, as you pointed out, model research is now less positive across global equity markets, and global equities are down since the war in Iran began. However, U.S. equities have certainly held up better than ex-U.S. equity markets over the past 2 weeks. So what is our model research telling us now about the outlook for U.S. equities during this period of heightened geopolitical uncertainty?
Yeah, so U.S. equities have held up better than international equities, since the U.S. is better positioned than Europe, Asia, and the emerging markets to withstand a rise in the price of oil and gas, with U.S. equities being down about 3% as we go to record this, while an index of international or non-U.S. equities is down over 7.5% since the start of the conflict. You know, regardless, our outlook for U.S. equities has shifted downward to a more neutral outlook as a direct result of this U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict. In addition to the continued excess overvaluation that we've talked about for quite some time, we've seen a loss of positive investor psychology measures and a widening in credit spread measures, which we'll touch on a little bit later. The risks here to a downside sell-off, as you alluded to, Fritz, have just increased markedly since this conflict could drag on, as you noted.
All right, great. So keeping with equity asset classes, our model research shows a clear shift in the relative attractiveness across equity markets, and it shows that ex-US or international equities such as Europe, Asia, and emerging markets, which are more reliant on imported oil and gas and are at greater risk from the rise in the cost of energy they have suffered more over the past 2 weeks. So what is the model telling us about ex-US equity markets at this point?
Yeah, we've definitely seen over the past 2 weeks, international equities suffer steeper declines in the US as a result of the steep rise in the price of oil and gas. And we just discussed that. You can see that here in this chart of oil surge versus an index, the MSCI ACWI, All Country World Index, declining at the same time. each of the outlooks for the various global equity markets have declined, like we said. So let me go across the world real quickly, starting with Europe. Growth was already stagnant in this region. So this additional headwind of increased energy prices certainly won't help jumpstart things. The European Central Bank had seemingly been on a rate hiking trajectory, like many of the world's major central banks, despite the need to support growth. And this appears to have been, have helped do an about face, where now the potential next moves out of the ECB are likely to either be a pause or potentially even a rate cut. Japan has been negatively impacted by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, as the country does import over 90% of its oil, as you can see here from the Middle East and Middle Eastern countries here. And despite the exuberance surrounding the new prime minister and her pro-growth plans for the country, the downside risk nearer term from this conflict just offset the potential for any equity market gains at this time. The outlook for China and emerging market equities has declined due to a loss of that similar positive investor psychology measure we look at from the turmoil here in the Middle East, as well as the strengthening US dollar that we've seen recently as a result of it as well. China imports about 50% of its oil from the region. So It's not as directly exposed to Middle Eastern oil as Japan and has other oil providers like Russia and Brazil. But knocking out this Middle East component is still likely to have a negative effect here shorter term until those other routes can maybe pick up that slack. Also worth noting is that at the end of this month, March 31st to April 2nd, President Trump and President Xi Jinping have a scheduled summit. Now, this was originally intended to focus on trade negotiations following that truce that they made in October of last year. Presumably now, no doubt, geopolitics will likely be in play as well, with the Middle East conflict potentially still ongoing at that time and China's continued threats over invading Taiwan. All that said, it's worth taking a look at this chart here. We see a list of countries and their imports from China. It's comparing 2017 to 2024. Most countries either stayed the same or increased imports from China, with the notable exception you can see there being the United States, where we see a significant reduction. This does suggest that China is in a relatively strong negotiating position with regard to trade. And then India. Despite India's trade deal that announced with Europe and separately the US, as well as the recent US concession to allow India to purchase Russian oil for the next 30 days during this conflict, the outlook has still shifted more negatively. Beyond the, like we've talked about, beyond these negative investor psychology measures that we calculate that were already forming prior to the Middle East conflict, the research has shown several months now of widening credit spread measures in the region, and that's concerning and weighing on the outlook.
So now let's shift our attention away from stock markets to the bond markets and the U.S. Treasury market. And interestingly, one thing that we have not seen since the outbreak of the war in Iran is investors fleeing to the safety of U.S. Treasury bonds. That has not happened. What we have seen is yields on U.S. Treasuries actually moving higher as investors begin to worry about inflation and whether or not the Fed will even cut interest rates one time in 2026. So what is our model telling us about the outlook for U.S. Treasuries at this point?
Yeah. Well, let's start with inflation expectations as measured by the one-year break-even inflation rate, which we touched on in last month's view from the edge. The break-even one-year started the year at just over 2%. It's now risen to over 4.5%. That's quite a jump in short-term inflation expectations in such a short window. The potential for rising inflation and therefore rising yields more broadly is a risk that we continue to monitor. You can see here the upward shift in the Treasury yield curve starting at about the one-year tenor and continuing all the way out to the 30-year tenor, as you alluded to, the majority of the U.S. Treasury curve from a month ago before the conflict began. So yeah, yields are rising for sure. The Fed is truly, regarding short rates, the Fed's truly in a tough position here with their dual mandate of full employment and price stability. They have that blunt tool of short-term interest rates And that needs to be used really in opposite manners to solve both mandates currently. You have lowering rates to help employment and yet rising rates to combat inflation. And so we see here the market implied number of rate cuts in 2026 has cratered to under one cut now for the year, having been over two cuts when the year just began, and over three cuts were expected for 2026 just 6 months ago. So things are changing. Of course, we have a new Fed chair coming in May too, and that may change a number of things. You know, given this geopolitical uncertainty globally, as well as the uncertainty surrounding monetary policy, we just continue to support concentrating fixed income investments in those shorter term, high quality maturities. And if I can, just a quick note on credit. Yeah.
Sure.
Which for as long as I can remember, we've been on here suggesting it isn't worth the risk given how tight credit spreads are and, you know, not worth take stepping out in risk with the threat of potentially widening credit spreads. And we see here that high yield bond spreads on the top chart do still remain tight. But if we look at just the triple C rated, that is the riskiest rated high yield debt, we are starting to see some spread widening here, which may be a harbinger of bad things to come. So also something we're monitoring very closely.
Okay, good. So let's turn our attention to real assets, which are far and away the best performing asset classes thus far in 2026 anyway. So let's start with gold. How has our model research outlook changed for gold since the outbreak of the war, since I believe you had mentioned it's a little less positive than it had been in the prior month?
We've lowered the outlook for gold, but it's still positive. Typically in a risk-off environment with indiscriminate selling, gold oftentimes will also fall alongside those equity risk assets as, you know, investors who lose money with other investments sell gold to help pay maybe for margin calls and things of that nature. Over the longer term, though, we do believe gold can still be that excellent hedge against geopolitical turmoil and global conflicts and wars and uncertainty and things of that nature. We expect central banks around the globe to continue to diversify away from U.S. dollar-based holdings while increasing potentially their gold holdings, though that pace in 2026, as you can see here, has definitely slowed compared to last year. While this is just for the 1 month of Jan 2026 versus all of 2025, you're seeing very little in new purchases from the big purchasers of last year and maybe even some selling from some of those central banks. So that's definitely a trend we'll have to continue to monitor. You know, should the Federal Reserve lower rates to respond to weakening employment rather than raise rates to combat rising inflation, gold could see additional upside as well.
All right. And so let's stay in the real asset or hard asset ecosystem and talk about commodities, where obviously the rise in the price of oil and gas has been fairly dramatic over the past 2 weeks, driving the performance of commodities higher, at least in the first 2 weeks of March. So what is our model seeing when it looks at the commodities market?
Yeah, well, like gold, weakening demand for U.S. dollars may also benefit commodities more broadly. However, you know, broad-based commodity exposures that contain energy and agriculturally focused commodities may continue to benefit while the Strait of Hormuz remains impassable. The outlook remains positive for sure. You know, Bloomberg Research has suggested that should the Strait of Hormuz remain closed for 3 months, as you can see here, the price of Brent crude may surpass $160 per barrel. So pretty interesting.
All right, Eric, thank you. Very good. So there you have it, a very different investment environment here in March than we were experiencing in February. So let's circle back real quick and have you just summarize the asset class matrix.
Overall, our research has no doubt picked up on the Middle East conflict and its potential impact to global asset classes by generally reducing the outlook for all equity markets while increasing the outlook for cash and commodities. We will definitely remain vigilant and make further changes to our investment solutions if we find it necessary.
All right, Eric, great. Thank you. Thank you for the update based on our proprietary research model. And it certainly does feel like at times like these, times of increased uncertainty, that it is comforting to be able to rely on our model research to help to inform us as we continue to navigate the global capital markets on behalf of our clients. And so that will do it for this month's edition of the 3-Edge View from the Edge. If you'd like a hard copy of our full View from the Edge newsletter for March, you'll find that on our website, which is 3edgeam.com. Also, as a reminder, our entire library of video content is always available on our 3Edge YouTube channel And if you would be so kind as to subscribe if you haven't already, we would be most appreciative. So on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3EDGE, thanks for listening. This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3EDGE believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.